She had three issues. One, she didn't like the idea of taking extra medication, no matter what it was. Secondly, she had some myelosuppression. It wasn't to the extent that she didn't become neutropenic, but there was some myelosuppression with it. But the third thing that had happened, which I'd never seen before or since, she had LFT elevations with it. It was transaminase elevations with it. At that point, when I had reviewed the literature on palbociclib, I hadn't seen it being a common occurrence. So I discussed it with her. I mean, she didn't want to take it to begin with. Then she saw these LFT abnormalities and she wanted to get off of it. So we gave her a trial, or I gave it. Then she stopped it. The LFT abnormalities improved. I put her back on the palbociclib. The LFT abnormalities returned, and then she was done. She didn't want to be on it.
One other thing, could I just ask you, in addition, you wrote down here that she had alopecia.
It was minor alopecia. This is a woman who was very conscious about her appearance generally. So it wasn't like significant alopecia, but for her, it was significant enough that she mentioned it to me at that time. The other thing that has happened with her, with hormonal therapy, she's gained weight with it. That's been a significant issue for her. So actually at this point on PET scan, she has no clear evidence of disease, but the issues for her are more like side effect related. And the other ways it has affected her, as in her weight, she has arthralgias, some from osteoarthritis, but some from the aromatase inhibitor.
So, Sarah, maybe you could make some comments on some of the things that have happened with this lady, the liver function abnormalities, the alopecia, and also the fact that she seems like she's a patient who's done very well actually without a CDK inhibitor.
So maybe first just to turn to the toxicity that she experienced while on palbociclib. So one of the toxicities being the alopecia, that's been reported in about 30% of patients receiving palbociclib. So it is a known toxicity and something patients do complain of on this agent. Certainly an aromatase inhibitor alone can also cause some hair thinning, but the palbociclib does add to that. And so then the other issue was the elevated transaminases. So this is pretty rare with palbociclib. It's been reported in about 2 to 3% of patients getting palbociclib to have elevated transaminases. Certainly we do see it at a higher rate with other CDK4/6 inhibitors such as ribociclib, but palbociclib is less so. So it was a rare toxicity that she encountered and did seem very much to be drug-related, as it did seem to resolve with discontinuation and then recur with re-exposure. So I think, you know, if she were interested in considering it, one could have considered dose reduction to see if that would have potentially helped and she would have tolerated it from a liver function standpoint. But this patient didn't seem terribly interested in that. I think in terms of the bigger picture, I think it's very impressive that she's been on an AI for 4 years. And I think, much to your point, does beg the question, you know, which patients actually need the CDK4/6 inhibitor? Many of our patients are going to do really well with just an aromatase inhibitor and have long duration responses, just as she thankfully has. And I think this is really an area that we need to better understand. You know, we've worked hard to try to find out what the biomarker predictors are of benefit for these agents, but have not found it yet. And I think from a quality of life perspective, it will be important for patients to understand which people need it and which people don't. I'm not sure if we'll get that answer.